go live, make sure that it goes public instead
Where?
of private.
Yep.
Sorry it was so late. Normally my computer is connected hardwired, but for some reason the hardwiring isn't working and I had to go use Wi-Fi, but it looks like it's set to
Okay.
private. I don't know why it always does that. I don't know why the first try always does private for some reason.
You haven't like contacted YouTube about it or anything, or
No,
tried to
I think
figure
it has
out?
something to do because I always like to be prepared, so I let it sit for a little while on the screen. So when I click go live, it's been on the screen for like 5 minutes or something. And then maybe that's what does it. I have no idea.
Well, now it says it's streaming live on YouTube on my end. I don't know.
Yeah, because I mean, it does stream to YouTube, whether it's private or public, but let's see. Make sure I see the chat. No, it's still showing private.
I think it must be a setting on Zoom or something you have to fix. Something. Something's not quite right.
No, because when I get it, I have it set to public.
I have no clue. No clue. Other than check your settings. No freaking clue.
Yeah, because even here it says privacy public.
Don't know.
Oh, Mamma Mia. All right, come on.
Technology can be a real pain.
Yeah, you're not kidding. There's the chat. Okay, so we are public now. Thank goodness.
Hello. Hello to the general public.
Yes. Good evening, and thank you for staying with us. We went up to 42 subscribers. We got a big rush of subscribers in the past couple of days. So I want to thank
I
you
love
all,
it.
and welcome to Suds News, Suds in the Squared Circle. I am Vinny. This is Christy, and I do apologize for starting almost 15 minutes late. We had a couple of technical problems to deal with. Of course, computers are not easy to work with sometimes. Anyways, we've got a lot to go over. A lot happened. We had four episodes of General Hospital last week because Monday obviously was New Year's Day and there was a lot of football on. However, we also had the GH 60th anniversary spectacular or special that was on ABC on Thursday night at 10. And we'll go over that as well, as long with along with some big news about a return to Port Charles. Christy, how are you doing? How was your week?
I'm okay. Week was a little, my weeks have been a little rough. As you might tell, I have a little bit of a cold today, so my voice sounds a little bit different. That is why. So sorry, y'all. The whole weather, I think it's going around. I think COVID's going around again. People are getting colds, at least in my area in Louisiana. So I'm trying to, I should be pumping myself with extra vitamins or something.
Take some vitamin C.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that. It's a good first week to 2024. Just a lot going on in General Hospital world, in Port Charles world. Earlier today at 7 p.m., I was on Take Two Radio, Soaps and Review. So this is now my second podcast of the night. So I hope you all go over there. That's at Blog Talk Radio. That's every other Monday. But anyways, so we've got a lot to go. Did you get a chance to watch the 60th anniversary special?
Did. So thank you for reminding me about it because you texted me in the middle of it and I was like, oh shoot, because I was working on stuff for Toastmasters. I'm the PR manager for my district, and believe me, that is like a part-time job by itself. And that's a volunteer gig. I don't get paid. So I was in the middle of doing that. So I caught like the last 20 minutes live. And then I went back on Hulu. Thank you, Hulu. And then I watched the rest of it. So yes, I did watch all of it. I wasn't quite paying attention for the big reveal at the end, and I had my head down. I was like, Are they just teasing that for no reason that Steve's back? Or did I imagine? Like, I don't know. And I was like, oh, God, well, I guess he's back. And as you know, because we've talked about this before,
yep.
I have very mixed feelings about Jason Morgan being back on screen. I don't know if I trust this regimen to give him good story. I definitely don't expect anything as a liaison fan, as a Jason Elizabeth fan. Honestly, probably one interaction initially, you know, depending on, you know, if he comes back as Jason or something different. I don't know.
Right.
Or he's another clone. He's another twin. I have no clue. You know, anything could happen on soaps. But, you know, I expect one interaction initially. And then, you know, then they'll probably go back to the 3 to 6 months. Oh, we choose to acknowledge their existence and their history. Okay. Thanks, GH. So. But I'll always remember that bike ride in 99 that started it all. I was tweeting today. I was like, I'm feeling nostalgic.
Well, I am excited that Jason is coming back. I'm a huge Steve Burton fan, as everybody probably knows. But, you know, here's the deal. And I was talking over tonight in that I want to see a story. Like, yeah, I don't want Jason to be back just for Jason to be back. Like, if they're not going to give him a story to sink his teeth into, like, put him in there. You know, I want to see him have some scenes with Jake and Danny. They're getting older. They need their father. Yeah. Jake especially going with, you know, being that he's now traumatized from the Charlotte incident and seeing her shot and dealing with her being brainwashed. And again, folks, thank you for joining us. If you're in the chat, definitely hit up the chat room. It is open. You know, it is winter, so the water's cold, but jump on in. And again, hit that like button, subscribe, and get notified. Nathan, welcome. Welcome. You are definitely a loyal fan.
He's a regular. He's here like every time. I love it.
And Chad, too. New name in the chat room. So, Chad, welcome.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't want Jason to be back just for him to be back. I want there to be story. I want him to have some scenes with Jake and Danny. I want him to have some scenes with Elizabeth, have some scenes with Sam. I just want to, you know, see Steve Burton have something to sink his teeth into.
Right. No, me too. I kind of feel like they're just going to go right back to the whole put him in Jason, Carly, and Sam's orbit. Let's forget about Elizabeth. Come on. Yeah. Like, they do that all the time. It pisses me off that they, like, very rarely acknowledge the Jason Elizabeth history, which also means him interacting with his firstborn, his first son,
yep.
Jake. And they always do that, and it pisses me off so much. So I hope this time around they've listened enough to the fans that say,
welcome, hey, 10th this floor matters. Podcast.
Welcome, 10th floor. I'm hoping that they, like, really come up with a really, really good story.
Yeah.
Because it's been rumored basically since Steve left that yeah. He's been rumored to come back. This is what fans have been wanting for like over 2 years. So yeah. I really hope they deliver. Do I have high hopes? Am I holding my breath on it? No. Because I just have very low to no expectations when it comes to GH. I've just learned, because anytime I expect something, it just doesn't happen, or it happens like months later.
I completely agree. So here's my thought. And if the powers that be are listening in and they want to use this idea, make sure to credit me. But how about having Jason be the one that shot Austin and killed Austin? Because Austin and Mason did interfere with Ava, who is obviously Ava's mother, or Avery's mother, who's, you know, Sonny's daughter. And, you know, he's out there. And, you know, but there are some other rumors in there, basically, of if even if he goes back to Jason Quartermain, or there's some kind of a merge between Jason Morgan and Jason Quartermain. So there's obviously some story there. It just has to be written. It's got to be written the right way. You know, we have the writers, and, you know, they've been doing great. These past couple of weeks have been fantastic. So let's just hope that they keep the momentum going. Let's see, Nathan said, even if Liaison doesn't get back together, we should see them in scenes co-parenting. Same goes for J-Sam as well.
Yes.
And I mean, welcome, yes. David.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out.
And 10-4 said Jake hates guns now. Jason is a walking gun. There's bound to be tension. And I think it's perfect to include Elizabeth.
All the more for them to have scenes and have like more drama. Like, I don't like my dad because he's in, you know, he's a mobster or whatever. Like, yeah. Like all the more reason. I'm telling you.
Agreed.
All the more reason. And I just feel like they focus more on like Jason and Sam's child than Jason and Elizabeth's child. I'm sorry. I feel like they've always focused more on that. I wouldn't be surprised if they try another run at the whole J-Sam thing, because they go back to it every time.
Well,
every time.
I happen to enjoy Sam with Dante. And I know that there have been rumors about Lulu waking up, and this way they could put the universe back together with Lulu and Dante and Sam and Jason, but I don't want to see the same old thing again. I like seeing Jason and Sam and Dante together. I think that's a really good dynamic that they have. Obviously, Sam has Danny and Scout, and then Dante has Rocco. I like to see that, but I wish I could see the kids a little bit more. But again, with the whole Drew wanting to send Scout to the not military school, but the private school that she doesn't want to go to, and the scene with him and Sam that came on Friday was just absolutely fantastic. Like, Drew has gotten an edge to him, and I love it.
Keep it spicy. That's what I say. Keep it spicy. Because, exactly. Like, why do we need to have Drew be this, like, happy-go-lucky, like, guy all the time? Like, keep him a little edgy, you know?
For those of you out there that are listening that are wrestling fans, I would love to see Drew, even though we only spent a month in prison, kind of turn that into some kind of a character like Dominic Mysterio. And, even though Dominic only did one night in prison, but to go ahead and turn that in and get him that edginess that we want to see. There are a lot of people upset with the way Drew was written for Friday with the whole thing with Nina and saying, if you were a man, I would have beat your ass, or to some of that effect. There was a lot of people really, really, really upset with that. Personally, I thought it was great. He had every right to be pissed off. And he said, if you were a man, meaning, I'm not going to hit a woman, but if you were a man, I would beat your ass.
That was a moment.
That got all of social media abuzz.
Oh, I bet it did. I bet.
There are a lot of people on X. There were a lot of people on X saying, that was done horribly. And, he should never have threatened a woman like that. And he basically put it out there and said, if you were a man, I'd beat your ass. But he did not hit her. He didn't, and a lot of people were like, oh, well, you don't clench your fists to come at a woman like that. You can't please everybody, obviously. But then again, you go on the other app and you see the people that were okay with it and said, yeah, he had every right to be upset, and he didn't hit her, and he did, kind of put that out there. So there's always two sides. Neither one of them represent the majority. Everybody on the Bird app or on Facebook are all the vocal minority, and you can't say, well, everybody thinks this way. No, it's, there are many more viewers out there that don't have anything to do with social media, and you can't talk for them.
I'm really gonna say one way or the other. I think it, because it opens up like this whole bigger issue, honestly, yeah. About can a man do that? Can a man say that to a woman? It opens up a whole big, broader can of worms, honestly. Like, and I think that's probably why people are so triggered and up in arms about it too.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was good for dramatic effect.
Mm-hmm.
Was it great? Probably, like, threaten a woman in general like that, maybe not, maybe not the best choice, and I'm sure it triggered a lot of people, but I mean, I kind of like that Drew said something like that, because that's usually, he's not usually like a violent type.
Yeah, and he had like that. To be upset. I mean, now granted, yeah. And a lot of people are crapping on the fact that the whole SEC storyline is now coinciding with Bobby's death and that story, like when Nina came in and said, "I just want to apologize," and Carly's like, "Well, how did you hear?" You know what I mean? Like, she would have never known that, you know, Carly had just gotten a phone call saying her mother passed away. So Carly, again, you know, could be hot in emotion right there, and then Nina's there to give her, you know, her apology that never sounds genuine. She's only upset because she got caught. And I agree with that. You know, I mean, Carly is a very polarizing character. You know, some people really love her. Some people really dislike her. I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. She gets on my nerves at times, but I understand she's a powerhouse.
Yeah, you know what? I have a love kind of hate relationship with Carly. Because there's times where I really love her, and there's times where I really don't like her. But lately, I've actually liked Carly, and I was kind of looking forward to the fact that Nina was going to go over there and get tore into by Carly. Because you know what? Her response, completely valid.
Absolutely.
The way she reacted, completely valid. Yep. 100%. I was 100% behind Carly, because she's right. Like, Nina was coming over there just to kind of like,
only if Sonny told her to.
Because Sonny told her to, and she was thinking, well, if I go over there and I apologize to Carly and Drew, then maybe it'll like soften the blow with Sonny.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And then and Carly was basically proven right when Nina ran back over to Sonny's and was like gonna tell him, look, I did, I apologized. Like, which he wasn't gonna hear it.
Right.
Anymore from her, you know, and now he like threw her out of the house. I find hilarious.
That's the way it ended on Friday. It was literally, you know, Nina comes in and Sonny's in the apartment with Lois, and then he just slams the door right on her face, and it was a great scene. All right, let me kind of catch up on the chat. First of all, David says, hello, naughty Christy. So I don't know why he's got you pegged as naughty.
He thinks I'm naughty. I've been teasing that I'm in my reputation era. So, you know, he teases me all the time because I have a crush on Josh Swickard, which I totally respect the fact that he's married.
And then Chad goes with, you and I discussed all this today. I agree. I think Jason and Elizabeth should at least co-parent, have Jason and Jake share scenes. And I also enjoy Sante together, and want them to have, Sam already left Jason. So I don't want them reunited. I'm glad Nina didn't scare away easily. That's the other thing, is that if Nina kind of cowered in fear from Drew, then I could understand, okay, well, this, you know, might have gone a little too far. But the fact that she kind of stood her ground and kind of let Drew go through his emotions and, you know, let him kind of get in her face a little bit, that to me kind of spoke volumes.
Yeah, well, it's that. And even her apology is like her coming off is still justifying her actions.
Yeah.
So you're just like, okay, well, you think you're justified in what you did. So... there's no getting around that.
She is justifying absolutely everything that she's done instead of, you know, I get it. Don't get me wrong. Carly and Drew were in the wrong. Carly did commit insider trading, and Nina kind of pointed that out. But when you're coming over to kind of apologize and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry that, you know, I'm the one that called the SEC and took Drew and put Drew in prison. That was never my intention. Okay, but what was your intention? Were you ready to, like Sonny said, Carly's the mother of my children. Were you planning on, you know, was your intention to put her in prison? Like, that's where she's going to end up getting screwed is the fact that, you know, when it comes to what the intention was, it's like, okay, you didn't mean for Drew to go to prison for that long or for Drew to get beat up in prison. Okay, did you want Carly to go to Pentonville or, you know, and then potentially not different situation, of course, but get beat up or whatever the case may be. Like, that's, you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. Clearly, she did it out of spite against Carly. And bringing up the fact about, you know, not telling her about Nell before she died, not telling her about Willow to, you know, could have sped up the process about Liesl getting tested and this, that, you know, and of course, putting it on Carly. I get that. That's going to end up being the biggest feud is between Carly and Nina because they both feel justified in what they did. And they're both in the right and they're both in the wrong. And I think the 10th Floor podcast put that the right way a number of months ago, is that they're both in the right, they're both in the wrong. Now we just have to deal with the aftermath. Sunny, and I love the darkness coming back to Sunny. I think that was absolutely fantastic. Obviously, he's going through one of his, you know, depressive states now because of everything going on. And Nina betrayed him, which loyalty is key for Sunny. That's the biggest thing, is loyalty. So kind of getting back into the chat here. Chad says, I knew Drew wouldn't actually hit her, but this is just me. The line itself bothered me for a bit, but I rewatched it and I even said Drew had a right to feel angry. And yes, I liked that he had an edge. Nathan said, I don't think anyone is saying he doesn't have a right to be angry at Nina. It's just that the line was very bothersome for some who saw it, and I can see why. And again, if you're somebody that has experienced domestic abuse or something where a partner or friend or male, as a female and a male, you know, did hit you when they shouldn't, because that, I'm sorry, once you hit a woman, that takes away your man card. Yes, if you have experienced that in the past, I get it. But at the same time, while that is a trigger for some, for the vast majority of people, it's not. So you can't fine-tune writing for every little person who's gone through something, if that makes any sense, without saying that anybody is wrong for what they're feeling.
I mean, I almost feel like maybe once or twice a week sometimes GH could put like a trigger warning on their episode, like, hey, anyone who's triggered by, you know, like domestic violence or like verbal threats of violence or something, because like, I feel like the triggers are very real for viewers these days on so many topics, and GH isn't really necessarily afraid to go there. They don't always do it the right way. But they're not afraid to like go there and tackle like the big topic issues, right, which is what they talked about on their 60th anniversary special. And they're not. They've tackled a lot of major issues.
And welcome. And please forgive me if I say your name wrong. Amina. Please correct me if I butchered that. And she does point out, she said it wasn't just a line. He invaded her personal space, basically backed her into a corner. And again, I could understand that as well. You know, and if you're somebody that has witnessed a situation like that or been a victim of a situation like that, then yes, I understand how that is something that would trigger you or offend you or bother you. I understand that, which is true. Okay, so I was correct on the pronunciation of her name. So fantastic, of their name. So. Thank you for letting me know that I was correct on that. But anyways, so yeah, I agree. And this is one of the things that is always a hot topic with TV in general, is the whole idea of male on female violence. And I did put out a post on X earlier this week when this came, or late last week when this came out, saying that this is why intergender wrestling would never fly on national TV, with whether it's WWE or AEW. On the indies, it'll be, you know, it goes fine, you know, places like GCW and all this other stuff. It flies because that's not seen to the you know, the worldwide audience. But the biggest problem is you don't want to see male on female violence on TV. Now, it's one thing, for example, a Rhea Ripley who body slams, you know, somebody because, you know, she could be legitimately seen as a realistic threat to a guy who's smaller than her or what have you. But again, the guy doesn't necessarily hit her in return. But that's what it comes down to, is that there should not be any male on female violence in general. Back in the late 90s, it wasn't such a big deal. You had China going in there against Jeff Jarrett. You had China going in there against Mark Henry. So it does end up, you know, it happened in the late 90s and it's going to stay back there. All right. Kind of moving on. So I liked the conversation that Sam and Drew had when it came to Scout. Because, you know, Drew kind of said, oh, well, you're able to say that she doesn't have to go to the school now without even consulting me. And Sam said, like you said, that you were going to send her there without consulting me. So they kind of got their wires crossed and they came to an agreement. And Sam made the comment, I think this is our first, you know, argument, co-parenting or what have you. How did you like that scene? And what do you think, you know, what do you think that co-parenting is going to be like going forward?
I like that they disagreed on something, because even Sam brought it up. It's like, this is the first time we've disagreed on something. And we've had a point of contention about a decision based on our daughter. So I like it. I'm glad that they had a difference, and I'm glad that they seem to have talked through it. Although Drew, I think, is kind of disappointed that he didn't get his way and Scout going to that academy. But I overall, like, I was fine with them like disagreeing on it. And I'm glad like Sam, you know, brought it up and that Sam stood her ground on that and didn't really let Drew like try to convince her and Scout to do something that they didn't like necessarily like. Scout didn't seem thrilled about it to begin with. And then she brought it up to her later, to Sam later, and was like, I don't want to go. And then so it's not like, I'm glad Sam wasn't like, well, your dad thinks it's a great idea, so you're going to do it.
Right.
So just go. And so she didn't like force Scott to like go to the academy, even though she didn't want to, which I thought was great.
Which you're kind of now seeing the opposite dynamic happening on the same episodes almost, is you're seeing, you know, Scout reacting to Drew and Sam, and they're, you know, Drew wanting to send her there, Sam saying, okay, well, it's your choice, you don't have to go. On the flip side, you have a guy like Adam who is struggling and having all kinds of challenges because his parents are forcing him, or what we see,
or so it appears.
Right, yeah. So it appears, to get, you know, all 100s on every test and to, you know, become a doctor and this, that, and the other thing. So we're kind of seeing where the challenge comes for a college student if your parents are overbearing and you have no choices in life, to the other set of parents with Sam and Drew. Well, Scout chose that she doesn't want to go, so she doesn't have to go, you know, and Scout made her own choice. Obviously different age groups, but it's the same kind of dynamic. Maybe Adam's parents were just that overbearing from the very beginning. You know, he had to be the, you know, because I think he made a comment about when Joss and Trina saw him playing the guitar, that he always had piano, was it piano practice or something to that effect?
He played guitar.
No, but he wanted to play the guitar, but his parents said he had I think it was playing the piano, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. I wasn't paying too close attention to that. And I also, I think there's definitely more going on with Adam's parents than he's letting on. Like, there's definitely more than what we're seeing.
Yep.
Because he seems very intense, like, my parents, and this score isn't good enough. Like, he has to either get 100 or something. Maybe he has to get 98 and above. I don't know what the standard is. But that seems like really crazy, the way he's making it sound like his parents are reacting, at least by the phone calls that we're seeing and what he's saying to like Jocelyn and Trina and Dex. And so I'm wondering if down the line we will see Adam's parents on screen and actually see.
In my opinion.
Because, I think it would make sense for us to see it. Or if he's just making, maybe he's just like making all this up or something. I don't know. Like, the guy's seriously has some serious mental issues going on.
And we saw him this week kind of really, it almost looked like an OD on what, or he hadn't slept or something. About the OD with his pills, you know, and Joss and Dex were in the room getting ready to, was it go out for New Year's or something? And then, he comes knocks on the door.
He was like drunk.
Yeah. He was drunk. That's what it was.
He was drunk. And he literally was like already like leaning against the door, and he thought it was his room that he went to and not Jocelyn's. Like,
yeah. And he said, that's why the key wouldn't work.
I think he is mixing his alcohol with pills, like Sonny does. So, Sonny has done in the past.
Yeah.
I should say. So, there's definitely a bunch of layers to that, but something's going on there. And I really am curious to find out, like, the truth. Is the truth he's portraying actually what's going on with his parents? Like, yeah. I feel like there's the truth that we're apparently seeing on screen versus the truth that's really in reality happening.
Of course.
I think there's a difference.
Yeah. And we're only seeing one side of it. So if we have, I honestly feel like one of these days, you know, he already had a panic attack in one class. He's going to end up having another medical problem that Joss will bring him to the hospital, and his parents are going to have to come into town to either bring him home or get him help or something. Okay, so this is one question I had, and I asked the folks over at Take Two Radio. This is my first time actually getting to know the Lois character. I wasn't watching when she was on the last time. So my original thought process was, why is she getting involved in the SEC thing? Why is she so adamant that Sonny has to know, instead of just letting bygones be bygones and letting them take care of it? Why is she inserting herself and saying Sonny has to know? But I was told that that has everything to do with her character. And she's always been like that, that Sonny, you know, that she and Sonny are very close friends and he has to know. So I kind of, that pet peeve of mine kind of was a moot point at the time. But have you been introduced to Lois prior to this current run?
No, I wasn't watching the last time Lois was on either, but I already kind of got the gist that her and Sonny were already really close in the past. Like, I already sort of figured that. And I've seen some various clips, but it was mainly Ned and Lois clips from the 90s. Like, I've seen a couple clips here and there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I already got the gist that they must have this like serious, tight friendship, that she feels this loyalty to Sonny to let him know that.
Yeah.
That SEC secret. So I already was like, it wasn't really a pet peeve of mine. I just kind of figured that made sense and that it was good for the drama of the storyline anyway. So, I mean, I was fine with it. And of course, she's like, to open her mouth and then like having a rift with Olivia over it. I thought that was just another layer of drama. And then she was like, oh no, I think I'm starting my New Year's now, ruining my friendship with my like lifelong friend. So that was like a kind of tough line for her to probably like cross. But I think Lois is kind of the person when there's something really important like that, and it comes to a friend of hers, she's gonna tell. Like, I just got that in her personality, even though I don't know her super well as the lifelong fans of GH who've been watching for years and years. But I kind of got the gist that like the thing with her and Sonny is like a legit tight friendship. So I was fine with it.
Yeah. And that's my thing too, is, you know, I have friends of mine where it's the same thing, you know, it's like if there's some kind of secret about them that directly affects them, unless it's something where, you know, it's kind of hard to think what you would do in that situation. But if it's something to this effect, yeah, I think I would probably end up having to spill the beans. Although it's like, it came out in pieces where, You know, who really knew about it? Well, Michael knew, Ned knew, Olivia knew, Lois figured it out, you know, and then all of a sudden it's New Year's Eve and the fireworks are going off literally and figuratively because, you know, Sonny's like, well, who was it? And he's confronting Michael. And Michael's like, well, I was just trying to protect you and this and that and the other thing. And then all of a sudden Nina comes in with Willow. And, you know, Michael's like, it's Nina. And, you know, the fireworks are off there. And but you know what it did? It actually brought some excitement to Michael and Willow. And I'm anxious to see where that's going to go now. Because now you see Willow raise her voice at Michael and saying, listen, I'm not a little kid where you have to protect me. You could have told me the truth months ago or whatever the case may be. Why would you still have me believing it was Ned?
Oh, yeah, I'm happy for this conflict because they're boring. They've always been boring. I mean, I think they've always been boring to some extent. I liked them in the beginning, the very beginning of their relationship. Like,
yeah,
you know, when they first got married as a business arrangement. And then I knew eventually down the line it was going to be like a for real, legit love relationship. But I mean, they're the excitement in any fireworks, I feel like personally, for me, has just gone out the window. Like, they are one of the most boring, lamest couples on the show. So to give them this conflict where she is literally like, I really don't like what you did and I need a break and I need space and I don't really feel like being around you right now. Like, that is completely valid. And I'm glad because it gives her a little spark. Like, we need to make Willow more spicy.
Yeah.
Because Michael's got an edge to him. He does some things that I don't agree
with.
He
has a dark side. Michael has a dark side.
Michael definitely is a dark side. But I feel like Willow is just like this vanilla character that I love it when they like spice her up and they like make her a little spitfire sometimes. And she like, so the fact that she's like telling Michael, like, you can't treat me like a kid, like. Yep. Like, how dare you keep this for me? And then he's like, well, you kept it for me about your cancer thing. And I'm like, okay, here we go. So.
But it's true. It kind of, you know, and she pointed that out. She's like, what is our, you know, marriage that we're lying to each other? You lied to me about Nina and I lied to you about my cancer treatment. Yeah. So I kind of, it's almost like a very mature relationship to kind of point that out right during an argument instead of waiting, like, you know, waiting a few days, although she did tell Michael, you know, you should find somewhere else to sleep tonight.
I love that. I was so, I was glad because that's realistic, right?
It is.
If marriages are having serious problems and serious fights, like, you don't want to be around that person physically. So, I mean, I imagine. So I've been told because I've never been personally married. You know, so I like that they having this serious, serious conflict. So I think they're either going to need marriage counseling or if they want to stay together, or they are going to potentially break up, which is fine with me. Get some spiciness. I want to see them with other people. Let's get some spicy.
Well, there were rumors originally that, you know, there was going to be something between TJ and Willow.
I know.
Obviously never panned out.
I shipped them for a second because I thought it was going to happen.
Let's see. Chad says, as a rare Mellow fan, it's good to finally see some real conflict with them. Yes, I like that Willow got to have a spark. Nathan said, Michael made a great point there. I am not a Mellow fan, but these two have kept secrets from one another, so they'll have to address what happens next in their relationship. And that's the truth. They're trying to raise two children that, you know, obviously have to come first. It just, you know, they have to figure this out now and kind of go on. If it means that they're going to get an annulment or a divorce, then that so be it. But
I think it's too late for an annulment, but they're probably going to go to the divorce, right?
I don't know. Is there a time frame? I didn't think there was.
There's got to be a period of time for annulments, I'm sure, legally. Now, on GH, though, I don't know. Could the chapter be completely different because it's a soap, but. I think it would be too late because they're already having, I mean, this is kind of spoiler because I've watched it today, but I mean, I'm sure the thought has crossed Sonny's mind about divorcing Nina already over this SEC stuff. So, and that they've only been married like, I don't know, 6 months? What is it? 6 months?
Ooh, Willow or
no, Sonny and Nina. Sonny and Nina? They've only been married like
3 months.
3 months? I don't know. Yeah. 6 months? I don't know. It feels like longer. It feels longer because they've been together so long. So
yeah, it was 3 months. Longer. They got married in October.
It feels like longer because I feel like I've had to put up with them on my screen for so long. Well, it feels like they've been married longer.
They've been dating longer. okay, so let's kind of move on a little bit from that drama. We'll kind of move into another kind of drama. So Curtis is going in. I know Curtis isn't your favorite character, but he is going for the experimental treatment in order to possibly walk again. I like when they bring in experimental treatments, but I don't want it to be something where they're going to get that. It's something I guess the way I look at it, I don't want it to be something that's realistically coming down the pipe that theoretically could perhaps get somebody who is a paraplegic walking again. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to give it, I don't want them, even though it's entertainment and we know it's entertainment, but a lot of people, you know, want to be represented, I guess, that if that's the right terminology. And, you know, if Curtis does get his walk, you know, get his ability to walk again, I would hope that it's not a real thing that somebody could really put their faith into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the way, Donnell had his birthday. I think it was yesterday or today, whatever. I saw it on social media. So
today,
it's today. Sorry, I can't keep my days straight. So happy birthday to Donnell, by the way.
Yep.
Just because I don't like Curtis doesn't mean I have anything against Donnell. I think he's an amazing actor. He had a great part in the anniversary special. Yep. And I enjoyed his stuff. And I think he himself probably would like to see more action on the Curtis front with him walking again. Like they showed him that one time, maybe twice in physical therapy, and they haven't shown anything since. And I really I'm still waiting for more progress on that front. See him like fighting to get mobile again, because I'm sure he's miserable in that wheelchair. I'm sure Donnell, to some extent, is probably like, all right, how long am I going to have to be in this wheelchair? Like, playing this character arc, like, character storyline. So, I kind of tune out a little bit when he's on screen, because I'm like, all right, what's the gist here? Any movement on this storyline for him this week?
Yeah. But he did, you know, tell Portia in a very romantic way that he's decided to go for this experimental treatment. you know.
Oh yes. Now it's coming back to me. Like they had a cute scene in the at the hospital, and he surprised her with the New Year's Eve thing, and I thought that was very cute. Mm-hmm. And so I like that they've come to this place now where they've kind of gone through some very rough patches, which was basically the start of their marriage.
Yeah.
And now they've gotten to this place where they're like, they seem like they're in a good spot, despite the fact that he's still in a wheelchair.
Yeah, exactly. So Nicholas is back. Adam Huss has once again resumed his taping as Nicholas Cassadine. And of course the trolls are out, you know, they're bothering him about his performance as Nicholas, which in my opinion, he's better than Marcus was. I feel like Adam Huss is a fantastic actor and he's doing very well as Nicholas Cassadine.
I'm sorry. These poor actors got to put up with so much.
And they went on to his personal.
SHIT. I'm sorry. Can I even cuss on this own podcast? I'm sure I can, but they put up with so much crap on especially X. Okay. Of all the apps, of all the social media apps, which I still like to call it Twitter. I don't like to call it X, but that's like a whole nother thing.
So then we'll just have to finish off and call it Twix.
Twix, the Twix app. So yeah, I mean, gosh, I just feel so horrible for these actors who come on. And they either, they're a recast or they're a new character and they're taking over a role and they're not obviously a fan favorite yet, mm-hmm. yet, or they may never be, whatever, whatever the case is. Like, and they, so much negativity. I mean, there's no wonder that, like, my favorite actresses aren't on X anymore. Like, Rebecca comes on once in a while, says some thank yous to fans for gifts, but that's it. She's like hardly ever on X. And I see why, because I've gone through stuff myself and I don't blame her.
Like, he activated his X.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is. A lot of them have, whether it's personal reasons or just not wanting to see the feedback or, you know, the trolls on you know, X. A lot of them have, Chloe Lanier, mm-hmm. you know, she deactivated her, you know, back when it was called Twitter.
I mean, she had like a villainous character.
It had something to do with, I forget what it was that she said or did. It was something that she did that had nothing to do with General Hospital, and people got on her about it, about whatever it was. So she's I think she's still on Instagram. But yeah, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, and the people, and I agree, Chad, you're right. X can be super toxic. It's true. If it wasn't for promoting, you know, podcasting or whatever, it's like, it's just very, very toxic. All there is to it.
I think this is like the only reason I probably like Twitter. I like Twitter because it's very fast for me to get a response from soap fans. If I have a question, like when I saw the guy from Finn from Bold and the Beautiful in a Liberty commercial, I was like, was that him? Did I just... And people were very quick to respond, like, yes, that's him. Yeah, that's him. So it's great when you need just quick little information.
Every time I see him on Bold, I'm just waiting for him to say Liberty Liberty.
Liberty, yeah. So it's great for that purpose. But for other purposes, like, you have to have such a huge, like, you have to be in a very strong place, like, mentally. Or you have to get to the point where I know a lot of, you know, friends of mine or people on Twitter have told me, like, you have to get to the point where you're pretty much blocking people left and right. And you have to curate curate your own timeline on Twitter to make it, like, okay for you mentally to do, because otherwise you get these, like, trolls in your mentions, and then you're just like, it can really affect your, you know, mental health. So it's just, I think you have to be a very strong person mentally and have really good, healthy mental health and a therapist on standby, honestly, because to be on X, because, like, I have to take it in small doses. I can't. Yeah,
and if you're somebody that does, whether, you know, without saying something that's not politically correct, or without saying something that's not PC to say, if you're somebody that does suffer from mental illness, or you're somebody that does end up taking things a little bit too seriously, or even just gets too emotional, or whatever the case,
or sensitive, or very sensitive person.
I mean, there was a Japanese female wrestler not too long ago that ended up killing herself. Hana Kimura, I think, because of Twitter, Twitter bullying or whatever. I don't even know what it was, but I mean, if you're somebody that is that sensitive, you know, my advice is not to read the comments. You know, it's like, you know, but it's hard when you're, you know, and I'll be the first one to do it. Like, when I put out something that I feel is a valid point, and then you get a, you know, 100 people jumping down your throat because of a miscommunication or something that, you know, is misinterpreted from 280 characters. Well, then, you know, it's like, well, why don't you let me explain? And then, you know, it's like, you could explain yourself to one response or one reply, but you're going to see 5 other replies come in that didn't see that. So it's hard. It is. It's something. It's really hard.
Yeah. We'll get back to Adam Huss / Nicholas, because we had to go down that rabbit hole for a second, just because, I mean, that could be a whole podcast, I know, in itself for us, because I'm that has become such an issue.
Something like that, but yeah.
So, but yeah, I just feel for for actors, whether you like them or not, is the character, right. Whether it's Adam Huss or his former portrayer, Nicholas Coloma. Like they open themselves up, unfortunately, as Pandora's box of soap fans who feel their need to spew whatever kind of hate they want at you because they don't like this and this and this. And like a lot of this is like beyond the actor's control. Like they're honestly doing a job. Like actors have a highly abnormal job, which means they're in the public eye. They have a job that makes them like famous to some degree, whether that's like A-lister celebrity famous or B-lister, C-lister, whatever. I don't know. A lot of people, I think, put soap actors on like a D-list. I don't know. I don't really quite know how that works. But anyway, like they open themselves up to so much. I know Laura Wright has gone on several breaks from X because of social media stuff.
And saying, listen, Carly and Nina are two characters we portray on TV. Cynthia and Laura in real life are really good friends. So don't attack Cynthia for something that Nina does. And it's funny that we're bringing this up because I think I've shared it before on my personal Twitter account or my personal X account. Maura West has me blocked because there was some storyline where they thought that Ava was leaving or something. And I said good riddance to the character. And she must have taken it too personally and thought I meant for her. I think she's a tremendous actor. I really love how she portrays Ava now. Back then, I really wasn't a fan, but she was a villain. She was a heel back then. So the fact that, you know, I thought she was leaving, good riddance, goodbye. You know what I mean? So, and then I was blocked. I'm also blocked by Nancy Lee Grind, but that's for a different reason.
Yeah. I think I've explained that I'm blocked by Carolyn Hennessy, and I have no freaking idea why.
By the way, Carolyn Hennessy, go over to our shop on Threadless Shop, sudssquarecircle.threadless.com. Buy the new Diane shirt, Business in the Streets, Freaky in the Sheets. Definitely go over and buy that shirt or hat or that logo is there on whatever you may want to buy.
Yeah. I love Diane, you know, and so anyway, we keep going down tangents. I keep feeling like we need to return to the whole Nicholas storyline. So he's returned and Nicholas and Ava had scenes and I thought they were really excellent.
Yes. And you know, he kind of goes into, you know, her gallery and surprises her in her gallery. And you know, he's like, oh, well, you know, surprised to see me, you know? And she asks him, she's like, why are you here? You know, and it's like, and again, it's just a small tidbit, but he is back filming. So Nicholas is back. Wonder if he's going to have any interaction with Esme. We wonder if he's going to have any interaction with Ace. I'm almost wondering that he's back now because it coincides with Spencer leaving because Nicholas Alexander Chavez is filming the Netflix series about the Menendez brothers. So he's going to be out for a while. So I'm almost wondering if that's why Nicholas is back, because Spencer's out of the picture for right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that could be why. And excuse me if you're watching on YouTube. I'm just like coughing up a storm here. Sorry. I think that the timing is probably why he's back. And just side note, I think Ava looked excellent in hot pink. That hot pink outfit was excellent.
Yes.
Maura, you looked so good in it. I wonder if you get to keep some of your wardrobe. And she looks black, good in black too, in leather, because I've met her in person. She's fantastic. So I really, that the scenes, for me, I was just like drawn into how Nicholas was trying to like almost seduce her, like thinking like, you're still into me. Like, I know you're still attracted to me. Like thinking he could act like he has swagger and get her to team up with him against Esme. So,
But they did have a really good conversation because, you know, they both kind of said, yeah, our relationship was toxic, you know, from the very beginning, you know. But there was a time where they did genuinely fall in love with each other. But from the very beginning, it was a it was a very toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. Again, thank you for watching. If you're in the chat, thank you for chatting. Definitely hit the like button, subscribe, get notified for everything that is Sudsy Square Circle. By the way, before we get back into General Hospital, quick programming note. For anybody that is interested, I am going to be starting a new podcast about the show The Bay, which is on Peacock. It stars a lot of soap actors. Tristan Rogers, Mary Beth Evans, Jacqueline Zeman. There are 6 seasons currently on Peacock, and I'm looking to get somebody who is who actually watches it that wants to do a podcast with me, because I am going to be starting that relatively soon. So if you're interested, let me know. Hit up the DMs and shoot me a message if you're interested. Also working on a Bold and the Beautiful show called B&B for Beginners. Waiting for the co-hosts that I have lined up to be ready to start. I'm also looking at other content coming up. So stay tuned to this channel. Stay tuned to X Suds Square, Suds SQ Circle Pod for all the news and information, because I am looking to expand. So again, I am looking for a co-host, for somebody that wants to do a podcast centered around the Bay. So definitely let me know if you are interested. Okay. But all right, kind of moving on. So I know we talked about it a little bit, but kind of going back, this starting today, obviously, is the tribute to Bobby Spencer and Jacqueline Zeman, passed away in May, and Bobby Spencer just passed away not too long ago on the show. Friday's episode was, you know, fully charged. I like how Cody, you know, was there for Maxie in kind of like that sisterly thing. And then Felicia comes in and says, you know, are you kind of upset about the do you need anything or what have you? Obviously, Maxie was very close to Bobby, considering, you know, her daughter BJ's heart is inside of her.
I mentioned it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, Felicia kind of came in and brought up the new DNA test that she had run on Cody regarding him being Mac's son. So that truth is going to come out relatively soon, I assume. And I don't know why they would do this when Mac is currently not there, because John J. York is going through his cancer treatment or, you know, his medical treatment.
I'm not sure either, unless they're just going to drag it out for like months on end, which is GH's MO,
yep,
to be honest. So maybe they're just going to just keep dragging it out, and maybe somebody, I think because something came out today where she said, oh, I ran it. I ran the DNA test and this was the result. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but I'm just like, I think they could be dragging it out because John J. York isn't on screen. So
yeah,
I'm not sure if we're going to get too much storyline progression on that, but yeah, it's interesting that they're doing that. But I mean, I'm glad Maxie and Cody had this conversation about,
yeah, because
Bobby and all this.
Yeah, and I like the I like how they're setting up that brother sister dynamic between Maxie and Cody. I mean, you know, considering that Robin's on the West Coast, Georgie was obviously killed years ago. Maxie's kind of been that lone child of Max for a long time now. So, you know, now that Cody is there as her brother, you know, if he's going to, you know, if he's going to put it out there and kind of accept that role or whatever. But it is, but I also liked how Felicia and Anna were reminiscing about Bobby. I like how, You know, they're just kind of pulling everybody together about it. Because it's going to be one of the, obviously this whole week is going to be dedicated to Bobby. So I did enjoy it.
I'm a little sad that GH is kind of starting this year on a little bit of a downer because of, you know, yeah. I guess the way they timed everything out with Jacqueline Zeman passing, and they decided to have it where like, oh, Bobby passed away. And so like, they're literally finding out like right after Christmas about this. And it's just like, so sad to kind of start it on there. But I mean, of course they also have the drama element with the SEC secret finally being out. So I'm glad that finally dropped. I was like, well, thank God they finally did it. They finally dropped the secret on that one. Cause that was like waiting for the other shoe to drop for months.
Yeah.
Like, is she going to say it? Is Nina finally going to say it? But I mean, she only really admitted it because she was caught. So we know how that goes. So I hope they have a little bit of like some lighthearted scenes thrown in a little bit, maybe this week, because it's going to be really like a downer with everyone like mourning.
Tearjerker.
Yeah. It's going to be such a tearjerker. So I hope they like remember some really like fond memories with Bobby. And I've been told by like my friend and I don't have the radio show anymore. I just do this liaison radio. But my co-host Celia was like, oh, I think they're gonna have a lot more flashbacks this week of Bobby, which is something I wanted today when I saw some Carly and Liz scenes. I won't spoil too much, but yeah, I mean, it's just something I wanted, especially if you're a newer viewer and you're like, who's Bobby? Because maybe you haven't been watching in the past year or 6 months or something.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, you know, just for some context to have more of those like flashbacks. I love when they show the classic flashbacks, which just made me think like, I would lose my freaking mind if they ever did that for Jason Elizabeth. They won't, because they only did it once in 2000. Okay. But I would lose my mind if they did that. I would lose it. If Jason came back and he started having all these montages with all the loves of his life, I'd freaking lose it if they put Jason and Elizabeth stuff in there.
Do a flashback, because I remember a number of years ago when Jason was in the hospital, I want to say that was having his brain worked on by Pat.
Oh, right.
They had an episode where literally Sam, Carly, and Elizabeth all had different memories or visions or thoughts of how Jason would come out and be with each one. Cause I remember Jason or Elizabeth was painting in the vision or dream or whatever. And Jason was, you know, there and kind of, you know, telling her and motivating her to paint, as opposed to being the mob enforcer.
Yep.
Yes,
you're right. You're right. Because when Billy Miller was playing Jason, they kind of had these little like flashbacks. Well, they had flashbacks audio wise when Billy Miller was playing Jason. He came back from his like surgery and stuff. But it was like all for you, like audio. It was interesting.
Yeah.
The way they did the flashbacks there. So, yeah. Well, time will tell. But yes. So they're back to Bobby, but I'm interested to see where this will go for this week. But like I said, I hope some lighthearted stuff and not just them like crying and moping around. But of course that's valid too, because
exactly
the cast has to mourn Jacqueline Zeman like twice.
Yeah.
Because they have to mourn her on screen and they have to mourn her off screen. So it's tough for them. And I just can't imagine like,
GH had a very hard year. Yep.
Yeah, it's just been so hard for them. Like everyone just keeps passing on them, and it's like, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be a lifelong fan too, because I'm sure it impacts people much more deeply than it does me. I've only been watching since 2006, and then for some of those years, like from 2009 to like 2009 to 2011 or 2012. Yeah. I basically kind of stopped watching for a while because I was mad at GH, but that happens a lot with soap fans. You know, we stop watching for a while, but we still want to know what's going on. So we come back in. Yeah. So Yeah, I haven't watched as long as other people have, mm-hmm. but I realize like the effects of how deeply it can affect viewers.
Yeah.
And I definitely, you know, at least on some level, I have sympathy for them. And I, to this day, I haven't seen, I still haven't seen it, believe it or not. You guys are going to be like, what? I still haven't watched all of the Sonya Eddy.
Oh, wow.
Episode, because that's still, to me, it's just going to take, it's going to be one of those nights and I'm just going to have a good drink in front of me. And I'm just going to have to do it because I interviewed her like two or three times and I like had her number. Like I got to like know her a little bit and yeah. It's just that one, I think hit me a little bit harder because I had like actually gotten to talk to her quite a few times.
Yeah. Which is awesome that you had that experience. And yeah. You know, it's like when it's funny because you look at when you're watching a TV show, you know, you don't know the actors, right? I mean, yeah, you can get interviews with them, get to talk to them, whatever,
some extent, yeah,
get to meet them. Like I've met Stephen Bradford, but I don't consider them friends by any means. But it's like you relate to their characters on TV because you're watching them for so long. You get to know them like you do. You're like you're missing a piece of family, let alone the cast that work with them on a daily basis. But I, you know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with anybody, you know, when and I'll be honest, when Owen Hart was tragically killed back in 1999, you know. During that memorial show the next day, it was like, I cried as well. Cause this is somebody who you invite into your living room, you know, on a, whether it's a daily or a weekly basis, who entertains you and you don't know them from Adam, but you kind of get to know their character. You got to get to know who they are. And then, you know, you get to hear about stuff behind the scenes and how great of a family person they were, or how, you know, they really impacted certain people or whatever. So yeah, it happens and it's sad. And you know, it's gonna be a tear jerking week this week. But before we leave, I think we've kind of wrapped up everything in Port Charles this week. Chris, did we miss anything?
I feel like there may have been a Chase in Brooklyn scene in there. So I just want to give an honorable mention to my favorite couple. I think they had a little bit of a New Year's Eve thing, yeah, where
I believe yes, actually
Brooklyn wanted to have some champagne and
Chase got called to work.
Yeah, and then he came back, I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
he did come back.
Yeah, came back and then he's like, let's just go home, and you know. So yeah. I always enjoy it because that to me is something I really look forward to. It's just one of the bright spots like on GH for me. So I enjoy it. They're still my favorite, probably my favorite couple, more so than anyone else. And that's, it's purely because Josh and Amanda have such amazing chemistry, and that's really held them together for me, because there's so many reasons why I could have just said, yeah, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But Josh and Amanda are probably like the only reason I've held on and been like, you know what? I can't deny that they have chemistry and they have something special when they're on screen together. I genuinely want to watch and see what happens. So yeah. Thank you, Josh and Amanda, for keeping Shaylin alive for me, because I don't know. The writing and the pacing has been absolute trash for them at times. And I just don't like at times, like, I think it's more so the pacing than anything else, but it's just like, so
you know, one other thing we forgot to mention was Esme going to see Heather. I think
it was last week
that Esme, you know, started getting all of her memories back and went to go see Heather. This week, however, she sits down with Laura, and Laura's like, well, you broke into Windermere, you broke a crime, so go turn yourself in. And that was on Friday, I believe, so I don't know what happened after that, because I don't think she went down to the precinct.
I don't think she was expecting that either, Esme. I thought she
wasn't.
think she was expecting Laura to give her like a free pass.
Yeah.
So, but I think Laura also has a duty as like the mayor to be like, legally, you should really turn yourself in.
Yep.
But you'll probably, if you turn yourself in, you'll know, you'll probably just get off with community service and a fine. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what, I feel like Esme isn't going to want to do it or going to find excuses to get out of it or something now that she has her memories back. So yeah.
I want to see how, because when she went to go see Heather, she justified everything. She justified everything she did to Trina and to Joss and Cam. And, like she was trying to find the ways to justify everything, which means
that reminds me of someone else, Nina. Nina and her should be friends then. They like to do that. They're like the justification ladies. They're like, oh no, we feel completely justified in everything we deal with.
So we'll see how that affects Esme going forward. And now with Nicholas back in the picture, and that story's going to heat up, although Spencer and Trina are going to, at least Spencer's going to be away for a while. I don't know about Trina or how much they filmed before he left to kind of work into the storyline, because that's a possibility as well. They could have filmed scenes ahead of time just to keep them in the can to kind of keep the pacing going. Who knows? But, all right, before we go, we do something every week, and we call it the Thankful Minute. You know, we just kind of express our thanks. Before we get to it, again, I want to thank everybody for watching and tuning in. This has actually been one of our most watched episodes live. And so thank you all for joining us. Thank you for the chat coming in. Nathan, you're always here. And then Chad coming in today has been fantastic in the chat as well. His last thought, let me go ahead and put it in there. Chad's last thought, because I need to zip it now. I still love Chaelin's connections. I wouldn't be against Brianna coming back as a temp with someone else for love scenes.
Liana? Who's Liana?
Brianna. The one that took over for Amanda Seton when she was in
love scenes. Yeah. No, I think we've addressed that. Like, I don't think that's happening. I don't, Josh and Amanda have talked about that, and we talked about that in a couple podcasts ago about how they're not gonna film love scenes, and why would they bring in a temp just for love scenes? That doesn't make any sense. I don't think GH would do that.
Yeah.
No, that's not gonna happen. And they can allude to love scenes. What I mean is they can allude to it enough where it's sexy enough on screen that we don't need to necessarily see it. Yeah. And that's okay. And I've made my peace with that. And me asking Josh and Amanda that question was just to like make sure that I kind of had a feeling that they had some kind of like arrangement already about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was just kind of like me for my closure to know as a fan.
Kind of what tipped me off to that was the sauna scene where Brooklyn goes in, she's in a 3-piece suit in the freaking sauna, and Chase is sitting there in the towel, and it's like, I'm sorry, but anybody getting caught in a sauna would at least take their shirt off or take some article of clothing off to kind of
calm down
because you're sweating. That was my tip off to that too, because I'm like, oh, we're going to actually see her kind of shed some clothing or see some skin, and nope. But whatever it is, what it is.
Yeah. I kind of figured it was an actor agreement. So yeah. I highly doubt they would bring back a sub for Amanda, just for love scenes. That, no, I don't think that's gonna,
exactly.
Ever. That's kind of a disrespectful, I feel like, to Amanda in a way. Just my 2 cents on that real quick. But yeah.
All right. So why don't we get into our Thankful Minute as always? Again, before we get to the Thankful Minute, I do want to thank everybody for coming in and coming to the chat room, watching tonight. We are here every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And go ahead, visit our website, sudsandsquaredcircle.com. That gives you all the information. Get in touch with us through there. All the information, all the podcasts are there. If you are a podcast listener, make sure you give us a 5-star review or 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Actually, I think Google Podcasts is no more, but Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart Radio. We are on Amazon as well. If you go over to the app, the Alexa if you ask Alexa to play Suds and Squared Circle podcast, sorry, Suds and the Squared Circle podcast. And again, look out for more content coming, whether it's little reels, whether it's shorts, whether it's, you know, new podcasts coming up. Stay tuned here. Hit the like button, subscribe, get notified. Go over to our merch area, sudssquarecircle.threadless.com, and buy our merch. New designs will be coming out soon as well. All right, so Christy, if you want to get into your thankful minute, I will start the timer, and your time starts now.
Okay, I'm thankful for, you know, this podcast, as always, so I can say my opinions freely without getting hated on by trolls in the comments, which is my experience on it. Some of the time, not all the time. Let's see, I'm just still thankful for my job and my boss being very understanding when I get sick and have days off. And she actually gave me like days off for like the whole year, like hours that I can have off. So I'm like, grateful for that. I'm grateful for, you know, good employee review. I'm grateful for new friends that I'm having in this new year, new Swiftie friends doing Taylor Swift meetups, because that's just me. I'm Swiftie. Love that stuff. I don't know what else to say, man. I'm kind of at a loss, but I'm just I don't know. I'm grateful for the food on the table, the basics. The basics, right, which a lot of people don't have.
Absolutely. All right, then I'll go ahead and set my timer as well. You know, it's been a very cathartic week for me as well. Like, for those of you that don't know, I am on top of everything I'm, you know, that I'm doing with the podcast network and trying to grow the network. I'm also in school for my MBA. It has been a very difficult couple of weeks for me in terms of schooling, because I feel like I've gotten into educational burnout mode. I am thankful for just being able to have this outlet and be able to, you know, have interests in starting newer podcasts. And it's just a matter of finding, you know, co-hosts to do it with me, because I know that my voice is monotonous at times. And if I could put myself to sleep talking, then I know that other people will probably fall asleep as well. But I want to just thank the audience for growing. I mean, like I said, tonight was the most watched episode live. We've been, our viewership and listenership has been going up in the past number of weeks. It has everything to do with consistency and just for what people want to listen to and watch. And if there's a little bit of controversy thrown in, then, you know, controversy creates cash. Thank you, Eric Bischoff. We are done for tonight. Thank you for joining us. Again, hit the like button, subscribe, get notified. If you're listening, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Do want to plug 10th Floor Podcasts. They did go ahead and release
the Perfect 10.
Yes, they're Perfect 10. So they did go ahead and release that. That is on their YouTube page, 104 GH.
Thank you for including us, Matt. Exactly. Thank you for including us.
And then, you know, I'm sure they'll be back for the Sudsies when we do those in the summer, because that'll be the annual thing for us. Go check that out. James Law Jr. will be back with JLJ Media and his shows later on in the month. The 21st of January is when all of his shows restart and resume for the next season. Dish and Days was back up as of yesterday. So everybody is getting back up. We're the only one that didn't take the week off for Christmas and New Year's. We were here. So
we're crazy like that. We're crazy soap fans like that. We've taken other breaks, though.
But yes, we have taken
other breaks. Taking other breaks, though, when we're sick or we got stuff going on. So.
Right. But thank you all for watching and listening. My name is Vinny. This is Christy. We will see you next week right here. Same Suds channel, same Suds time. 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific. Enjoy your week, everybody. Have a good night, everybody. All right. That is done. And let me stop the recording.